On the phone with us this evening is Sean McGillivray, who's one of the producers of a new Omnimax film, Journey to the South Pacific, and it's currently running at the Cincinnati Museum Center. Let me ask you about a couple of your earlier movies. First, Everest and To the Arctic, both of those cold subjects. This new one, Journey to the South Pacific, sounds different. How about that?
Yeah, we worked on To the Arctic for about 4.5 years, going all over the Arctic. And I was the sole producer on that, so it felt really good to go from the high Arctic, where it got to be under 30 degrees, under negative 30 at times, to beautiful warm water and warm weather. It was nice.
It's called Journey to the South Pacific, and that encompasses a pretty large area. So let's talk about how you centered or kind of decided to go on into one particular area of the South Pacific.
We found a fantastic story, and we talked to a lot of different scientists and researchers and scuba divers, and they kept on saying that this place called West Papua in Indonesia was just an incredible place to go. It's got some of the best marine biodiversity in the world. You can see manta rays, whale sharks up close. And we also found this incredible story of this kid who goes on an adventure around to all these different islands that he'd never been before and learns about ocean conservation in a new way.
Your film kind of follows this young boy. His name is Jowie. Was that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you follow him through all these different locations. How did you choose him and kind of use him as a focus of this movie?
We found this story of it's called the Calabia. It's a boat that goes from island to island in West Papua and teaches kids who don't have that much schooling, teaches kids about their own backyard, all about ocean conservation. And Jowie had a way to get on the boat, and he took this trip for about a month and a half to go to all these different locations. And we luckily found him, because it's hard to find these stories, but we luckily found him through research and scouting. And he was just a great kid. Really, he smiled all the time, was a great musician, and really blossomed on camera.
When people think of these kinds of movies, I would think you would spend all the time underwater looking at just the life that's beneath the surface of the ocean there. But you also spend a lot of time on land with the people, too. And I think that's different than most documentary films like this.
First of all, we wanted to make sure to get those wonderful marine shots, the shots of whale sharks up close, shots that you've never seen before in IMAX, where you feel like you might get sucked into their mouth. To manta rays going right above you. Just those spectacular shots that you got to see in a dome like that that's 6 to 7 stories tall. But we also wanted to tell a little bit of a story of the place. We took amazing aerials of this incredible place, some of the most beautiful scenery in the world, and we told this story of this kid, and you really got a feel for what it's like to live kind of in prehistoric times in a way, with really no technology on islands that are hardly ever seen by anyone.
When you were filming in these areas with prehistoric conditions, how were you able to get in there with high-tech equipment? I mean, how did you power all this stuff, for instance?
It was a challenge. I mean, all of these films are challenging. Our film up in the Arctic was incredibly difficult, and this one was just the same. I mean, we took over 25,000 pounds of equipment. It took us 65 hours to get there by plane, by boat. There isn't any infrastructure whatsoever when it comes to filming, let alone being able to make cell phone calls. There's no cell phone service. So all of it was by satellite phones and radios. And we had 5 different crews, 1 aerial crew, 2 underwater teams, and 2 topside teams. So very challenging, but we ended up getting amazing footage.
Well, yeah. I mean, to look at this movie, you get to see amazing creatures. I mean, animals to me sound like too calm of a word, too common a word. Amazing life that you get to see. And these creatures are changing and doing things that we would never see otherwise. How do you arrange for these things to happen? And I guess it's a matter of chance. And how much footage did you actually take to make the movie?
Yeah, wildlife filmmaking is tough. It's a lot of waiting, it's a lot of patience, and it's a lot of preparing so that you know you'll be in the right place at the right time with the right equipment, and it's so hard. But when it comes to this place, we had the good fortune that not many people have ever seen this place before. And so it was just incredible to be able to, in some cases, the first time ever, photograph these types of animals, like whale sharks, like manta rays, in such abundance.
Now, when you did this, you had to go underwater, of course. Could you tell us a little bit about what it's like to spend so much time beneath the surface with all this equipment capturing these images?
It's an incredible experience. I mean, we work with the best underwater cinematographers in the world, people like Howard Hall, and they have a team that go down, and I got to be with them, scuba diving with them and photographing them and the wildlife as well. So being able to see them with this huge camera, this huge IMAX camera that only takes 3-minute loads, it runs film. Once you're done with that 3 minutes, and you have to go back and reload and then bring it back down again, and that can take about 30 minutes time to do that. It's really challenging, but it's also just really fun to watch because many times they have the camera set up, but they also have lights in the background. There's a big cable that goes up to the surface where we have a generator set up so that it powers the lights. And so when the camera and our cinematographer moves to one side or pans over, then the people from behind him who are holding the light cables, they have to move as well in tandem with them because they don't want to be in the shot. So it's really interesting to watch, and it's kind of like a ballet underwater the way they do it, but they're so good, and it's still really difficult, but we got some amazing footage.
Personally, I was blown away when you said 3 minutes. I mean, that's a very short amount of time considering, like you mentioned, what you have to go through to actually get those 3 minutes. I mean, a lot more time is taken. Just how do you make sure that you get the right 3 minutes?
You don't know whether you get the right 3 minutes. That's why you got to have the best in the business, because they have so much experience doing it that they know when it makes sense to turn the camera on and to start recording. And when you're spending about $1,000 per minute, you want to make sure that when you press record, you're recording the right stuff. Now, that can be really tough when it comes to wildlife filming, because you don't know what the behavior is going to look like. You don't know whether after that 3 minutes that you shoot, that they're going to start doing something that's incredibly better than what you just shot. So it's always tough. But the good thing is that through experience and patience, you can get the right footage.
So let me ask, to wrap things up, just for two things now. What was your favorite piece of film from on top and your favorite piece of underwater footage that we'll see in the movie?
On top, by far, I think some of the best aerials we've ever gotten. And that's coming from a team crews that have filmed all around the world for the last 35 years using helicopters and gyro-stabilized mounts. But seeing the crystal blue water with these green mountains that are kind of polka dots, mushroom-shaped, when you're real high up from the air, it's just, you don't see that really anywhere else in the world. Underwater, for me, the whale sharks, seeing them suck down the water, kind of like a vacuum, where you feel like you can get sucked in at any second, and they're just so large, but they're also very gentle as well. I'd never seen that behavior before on a giant screen. You feel like you're right there with them.
Thank you for talking with us about this new film of yours, Journey to the South Pacific. It's at the Cincinnati Museum Center on a 5-story dome screen. This is the way to see it, right?
It totally is. It's the best way to see it. You got to see it. You'll feel like you're transported to a different place, and it's a great story, too.
Sean McGillivray is one of the producers of the movie. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.
Be war pelan e ai.